Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. How are you doing? I have had, oh my goodness, what a week. I'm absolutely exhausted. I've had a fantastic week because we had our sober coach training last weekend, and it's just so unbelievably energizing and amazing to be connected to people who are just on this mission to share the, you know, positive sobriety. So we really had a wonderful time. It was just great. Of course, really busy. And of course, a very emotional week for me, because it's the week after my job of 23 years has ended. I've written my piece about my reflections of my 23 years on Steve Wright in the Afternoon. I've written that over on my blog, so you're welcome to have a read of that. But obviously, it's, you know, it's really emotional and really odd, just odd to be when your whole identity kind of changes. So so it's been a very interesting week. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. But I just wanted to read you this, just such a lovely email. I won't read all of it, but just read a little bit of it, because I just thought that's what makes doing this stuff so worthwhile. I got this email saying, Janie, I just wanted to reach out to you to praise your podcast. I was signposted after passively Googling something like stopping drinking. That's exactly it, isn't it? You kind of Google around, oh, am I drinking too much? It says, in just 1 week, I've listened to 10 episodes. They're so inspiring and have helped me go from thinking about doing yet another Stoptober to being more sober curious, with the aim of going clean for 90 days and then hopefully announcing to the world that I'm alcohol free. Great way to be starting 2023. I'm listening in conjunction with reading some Quitlet, feel really energized and positive. I'm 37 now and I'm a grey area drinker. Hadn't heard the expression before listening to the podcast, nor the expression sober curious, nor Quitlet, nor keep the ritual, change the ingredients. But it's great to know that I don't have to wait till I hit rock bottom to stop. Such a relief and such a buzz to know that I'm completely free to stop now before anything breaks. And he says, this guy says, I look forward to listening to tens, maybe hundreds more episodes of your podcast. Thanks for helping me go in the right direction. I love that. I thought, honestly, that's exactly why I do this stuff. If we can just spread this message that you definitely don't have to wait till something breaks. Absolutely not. Do it now. It's the best thing you'll ever do. And if you've already stopped drinking and you listen to this podcast, I really hope so, because it's never about just not drinking, is it? It's always about what else we want to bring in. What other magic we want to create, right? How else we want to scale up or improve, I suppose. Just focus on the life we want to live rather than the one we've been trying to escape to for all these years. God, I wish I'd done it when I was 37. That is literally the only regret, not doing this sooner. So as I say, as I was just saying, it has been a really interesting week. Very, very busy, literally exhausting, so much to try and fit in. And at the same time, this kind of weird thing of there being new space created because the work that I've been doing on the BBC has ended after 23 years, which is unusual. It's this like, wow, so what's my identity now? And I've really done a bit of soul searching. And one of the reasons I've done some soul searching is not because I've been listening to my own shtick, which would be helpful, wouldn't it? It'd be good if I did. It'd be really good if I kind of, was able to say, well, I've listened to all of the stuff that I share with you all the time, and I've recognized the importance of letting go and acceptance and stepping into a new identity. No, I have been doing some soul searching because I was forced to, because I fell over and hurt myself really badly. And I might have mentioned this, but I think I was completely in denial. And I just thought, oh, I've got a little ache, everything's fine. And then it transpired that I actually couldn't walk properly. I was limping and I've got really awful kind of bruising. And oh my goodness, makes you feel so vulnerable. I'm sure I said that last week. Anyways, to cut a very long story short, while I was doing my sober coach training last week, one of the women who was on the course said to me, you know, I really would go and have that looked at because, you know, you never know. It could be, it's worth getting it checked out. So I really was in denial and did not think I had time for any of this stuff, but realised had to be done. So I went and got it checked out, and thank you, God, I do not have to have a cast or crutches or anything, but there is a kind of a little fracture going on. And so basically, I've been thrown clear in that it will heal. But it was, it was quite a shock. I suppose, we all think we're completely invincible, don't we? I rush around at a great pace the whole time. So actually to be, to have recognised that I'd injured myself really quite badly, it was a little bit of a wake-up call. And then I finally realised, okay, so let's just take a little look at this from another perspective as well. I mean, on the one hand, you could say, yeah, I'm really clumsy, I fell over. But on the other hand, you might say, right, what was the lesson there? What actually is it that you really need to look at and really need to think about? And the reality is, because I've done a little bit around meta-medicine, and some of you know the work of Louise Hay. She wrote the book, You Can Heal Your Life. And for everything that's going on physically, there is almost certainly an emotional piece to it. I wouldn't necessarily use the phrase reason, but peace. And so I, of course, looked this up and realised very quickly that it's all about letting go and fear. In my case, fear of stepping forwards, fear of stepping into this different identity. And as I mentioned last week, this is something that comes up so often for people when they're ditching the booze. They have to decide whether they feel ready to step into this whole new identity. And sometimes it can feel really scary because we've held on to this identity that we've created for ourselves of being the party girl or the party guy or the one who's, rocking the Casbah till 2 a.m. And that's the person we are. Oh, it's, party Janie or whatever. And when we have to kind of recognise, perhaps that's not who we are at all. Several people I've worked with have found that they are genuinely highly sensitive. They're quite introverted when they thought they were extroverted. It can be a really interesting time. And part of us perhaps needs to almost, well, we certainly need to accept, but we might need to actually sort of allow a few moments of grief for that person who is no longer with us, and acceptance that, okay, that was who I was then, but it isn't who I am now, and it isn't who I'm going to be. And any kind of letting go can be really tough, can't it? Well, it certainly has been for me. I've really had to kind of have a serious look at this. And of course, this ties in, and I'm getting a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but philosophical, I suppose. But I do think this ties in with the energies at the moment of autumn and literally being able to let go. And that sense of, I'm not just talking about a song from Frozen, but, literally being able to ask yourself, what don't I need anymore? What do I need to release? The trees do it effortlessly, of course. and it's a good thing. Everything, is released and it gets repurposed, right? And it's a good thing. And it's a completely natural cycle. But we tend to hang on to stuff, don't we? We kind of hang on for dear life. So anyways, I thought that looking at that with that kind of analogy might be quite useful. So I don't have a big kind of long interview this week. I've got a really short piece that I want to bring you, which came out of a conversation that I was having about exactly this with an author, Cheryl Rickman. Cheryl is the author of so many fantastic wellbeing books. I've interviewed her on the podcast a number of times. And coming up in the next few weeks, I'm going to be interviewing her for some other work that I do on her new book called Tree Glee. How and why trees make us well or affect our well-being, something like that. I'll remember in a minute. But anyways, we were getting ready to do our interview, and then we were having a chat, and I suddenly realised this is a little piece that I need to actually share with you this week while I'm talking about this concept of what is it we need to let go of. So this is a very short, short little piece this week, but I just thought it'd be super useful to get another take on this, particularly as Cheryl is queen of trees, and man, can they teach us a lesson. So Cheryl Rickman, who is the author of Tree Glee.
Cheryl, you've written so many books on well-being and all things, how we can basically feel better. And I love that aspect of everything that you do. And of course, your new book, Tree Glee, all about how trees make us feel better. But I just wanted to chat to you about something that really feels so as if it feels like it's on my mind the whole time at the moment. And that is, you know, we're in autumn and there's this kind of feeling of the need to let go. And clearly I'm saying this because I know the stuff I need to let go of. But it's hard, isn't it? Just tell us your kind of understanding of this concept of us needing to let go and whether it does relate to autumn.
I think it does relate to autumn. I think we have seasons. We're human beings live in a world where there are seasons. Mm. And I think it kind of gives us a chance to start over, to kind of have a do-over of, you know, any mistakes we've made. We can sort of tune into, you know, what to let go of, what maybe needs to shift, perhaps the way we're looking at something, you know, going in a different way, approaching something from a different type of perspective. Mm. So I think autumn is a powerful season, because it's a bit like, well, I think they all are for different reasons, but like spring can give you that sense of hope. I think autumn gives you that sense. It's that kind of new term feeling for me anyway. Mm. I find. Mm. Which I feel more weirdly in autumn than I do in the new year. Mm. Where I think because it's really obvious around you that nature is changing, it almost gives you permission to let go of baggage and stuff that's holding you back.
Yeah. I mean, I know in your Tree Glee book, you know, you obviously you talk about you know, how amazing trees are. And when we just look around, we actually can see trees doing this, obviously. They are literally letting go of their beautiful leaves, right? And then we get this sense that, I know I sound like I'm starting to get poetic here, which I'm sure you can do much better than I can. But it's this sort of sense of, they're literally letting go so that what they let go of can be kind of repurposed, right? Can be taken into the earth and repurposed for something else. And I think maybe there's this sense of, I don't know, I'm not even quite sure what I'm saying here, but certainly for myself, I know that there's stuff that I'm hanging on to too tightly. And I know that within my Sober Club community, I've had some conversations with people who know that it's time to ditch the booze. All right, let's take that as an example. It really is time for them to change their relationship with alcohol, but they're gripping on tightly to the last little dregs of what it might be offering them, which is absolutely bugger all, of course, but they're hanging on to what was then. And it can be so painful for us, can't it, as grown-ups, to let go of stuff.
Yeah, but what I think we can learn from nature and from each other when we have these share our stories of letting go is it's kind of like this process of shedding, but actually in doing that kind of shedding of layers or of leaves of as trees do, it is making space for something better. You know,
exactly.
So it is, it's kind of like, you know, in the book Tree Glee, I talk about how this trees are markers of the kind of perpetual cycle of seasons of change. And it's kind of comforting because it reminds us that during tough times of kind of scarcity, that better things are coming, you know, that this too shall pass. So I think even though it's really scary sometimes to let go of something, especially a habit that we've developed as a comfort blanket or whatever, it can be really hard because of the uncertainty of change.
We don't know what's coming or if anything will come. Absolutely. And I suppose there is, you know, the other thing that kind of goes along with this is this sort of acceptance, sort of being willing to accept. You can hear I'm clearly talking about what's going on with me right now. Yeah, it's very interesting because I actually fell over, I slipped over and I hurt myself really badly. And it was like, oh my God, it really kind of made me feel so vulnerable and so shaky. And I feel very blessed that, you know, I'm okay. But it really kind of made me, I had to kind of look at the whole meta-medicine version of it all as well. Like, what was it? What was it that was going on there? You know, when I really hurt my foot, which of course we all know is about stepping, what are you stepping forward into? Just at a time when I have to let go. I don't have a choice. I have to let go of stuff from the past because it's come to an end, right? Yeah. I have to let go and I have to be have the acceptance of that and be open to what's new. And I can feel the resistance. Of course I can, because I'm absolutely human. So, you know, this feels kind of really so important for me right now. And then when I realize actually nature is mirroring everything that's going on, but it's doing it all with so much more grace than I am.
Yeah, well, it is that thing, isn't it? That nature, it is natural to, it's that natural cycle. But for us, there is resistance, especially when we've found comfort or, you know, we've got really fond memories of things and we don't, we kind of like, oh, I don't want to let go because I really like doing that. But yeah, I think it's true. It's that level of acceptance and then kind of reassuring ourselves that when you let go of something, you close the chapter of one book or one story, there's the opportunity to pick up a new book and start a new chapter. And actually that can be quite exciting. So we can try and leaning into that. But yeah, not saying it's easy, but we can definitely use the kind of going with the flow and that sense that change is positive for, you know, from nature. And that can be quite helpful, I think.
And of course, as we've, you know, as we've already said, when it comes to something like ditching the booze, you know, changing a behavior, there really is nothing to lose. Actually, you're not losing anything. And it's just brilliant to bring in that curiosity about everything that you have to gain, rather than sort of hanging on tightly. What are all, as you say, what are the new doors that are opening? I suppose also just going off on a slight tangent from this, you know, again, something that I've always struggled with, and I know you and I have had this conversation before, is the decluttering thing, you know, physical decluttering. But of course, you know, there is also the decluttering of the friends from your life who are not supporting your sobriety, for example, the sober shamers. But the physical decluttering, that's a really tough one because so many of us hang on to old stuff that we don't need in the hope that we might need it on a rainy day.
Yeah. And I think it is that whole, that combination of the mental decluttering and decluttering of things from your life. But yeah, just holding on to things that are meaningful. Gosh, I'm terrible at, you know, getting rid of things. It can be quite, you know, you want to hold on to certain things, and it's okay things that you know you genuinely are going to cherish and they're going to be useful, or they've got such good memories, like photographs and things like that. But yeah, actually though, when you do declutter, you feel so good and so organized because things, you know where things are, and it's another kind of example of letting go of stuff and making space for and being open to everything else. You know, you just have more space now to move forward and to you find the things that you're like, oh, I didn't know I had that. I've forgotten I had that.
No, exactly. And, yeah, what would be your top tip just off the top of your head? I know I'm not giving you any time to prepare this, but just off the top of your head, what might be a top tip for those of us who are, you know, finding letting go difficult? I mean, getting out into nature and actually standing next to a tree might be a start.
Yeah, I think learning the lessons from nature. I've got a chapter in the Intriguely where I talk about the wisdom of the woodlands, and that is one of them, you know, having hope and embracing change, whether it's autumn or spring. You know, the cycles, change is constant, but there's so much good that comes from it. We, as human beings, we don't really like it because we like things to be just so, and we expect it to, you know what, we have expectations. But actually just be reassured, go out into nature and notice the trees around you that are shedding things, and they're actually doing it for a good reason, because come spring they're going to get new shoots, and you know, they sort of go through that process, and it opens up
you know, for new possibilities and new opportunities. So I guess leaning into that, sort of those natural cycles. And also the thing I like about going with the flow of the seasons, it means when it comes to winter, you have permission to hibernate and snuggle.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that. Yeah. And it really is, isn't it, a time to sort of start to go within a little bit more as we get to the autumn. Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm going to be talking to you separately about Tree Glee, how and why trees make us feel better. But thanks for just sharing those tips with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So thank you, Cheryl. No doubt I'll bring you part of that interview that I do with Cheryl. It's really powerful when you recognise the force of nature for helping us out in all the stuff that we need to do. So just to kind of recap then on what I was saying before I shared that chat with you, I think that I was thinking of this in terms of the three A's as opposed to AA, AAA, in terms of what we need to accept, the acceptance piece. It's really important and it's really hard, the acceptance. When I went through my little phase last week of thinking for a couple of days that my foot was actually broken and I was going to need, a cast or whatever they call it, initially I was in absolute denial at the thought. I literally wanted to just kind of run away, not that I could even walk, but I wanted to run away. I didn't want to go and even have it checked out because I just couldn't go there. I've got a TEDx talk coming up in a few weeks, and just the thought of being in that situation, it just felt just awful. But of course I had to come round to acceptance and recognise, okay, so I have to be willing to accept whatever is, and you know, from that place go and get it checked out. And then I suppose a little similar is the kind of acknowledgement that, you know, we're able to acknowledge what's going on. We're able to acknowledge our emotions. So I had to actually acknowledge the fact that I was feeling so nervous and chaotic and acknowledge what the emotions were, what negative emotions are going on. I've spoken so many times in on this podcast around the importance of allowing the feelings. You know, we have to feel the feels, don't we, when we're not drinking. You know, in the old days, I absolutely would have just gone and numbed it out. God knows if I'd have ever got it checked out if I'd been drinking. But it's this piece that I've said before, rather than saying, you know, I am, we can say I am feeling. It's how we're feeling at that moment. But acknowledging the emotions is, it just can be really powerful when we can just acknowledge that something is out of balance. But it's how we're feeling right now. We can move through it. You know, it will pass, right? And then allowing it. So the three A's, it's acknowledge, accept, and allow it. They're all much the same, of course. But when we really properly allow something, we can, often we can do this with the breath. You know, we can just make sure we center ourselves. We come back to center. We can breathe, allow ourselves to notice what the feelings are, allow ourselves to do some kind of meditation or just going within where we're able to release some of the negative emotions. This is where things like emotional freedom technique can be super useful, EFT. You've heard me talk about it many times, I'm sure. I was very skeptical when I first came across EFT, but without any shadow of a doubt, it works. And I think there's an awful lot we can do for ourselves by just using simple tapping techniques. I'm just about to start my online group coaching program where we're going to be doing some EFT, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. But if you do have unwanted emotions about anything, sometimes just a short tapping routine, a little sequence, can make all the difference. It can be really magical. It just literally taps into what's going on and allows you to become present and release the kind of emotional charge, release that negative emotion. And sometimes it can allow you to release it and then become open to what am I being taught here? What's the guidance that's being shared with me? What is it that I might need to look at? So it's just quite a nice technique. The three A's, just allow it, accept it, acknowledge it. They're all much the same with slight nuances around them. But yeah, can be very powerful. And then, of course, it's the letting go piece. And what I really love about, you know, some of the stuff that Cheryl was talking about is when we think of this time that we're in, when we think of autumn, and you know, I really don't think we work enough with seasons. I think actually seasonal changes can just be so powerful when we recognize that the more we're in tune with them, the better it is for us. And this is a time, autumn is a time for new projects. I love that idea. It's a time for us to kind of assess and become aware of what we need to release and create space for what might be coming in, you know. So it's literally the perfect time for what's going on with me. So to ask ourselves, how can we get back to balance? You know, what is it that we need to look at? Are we okay to let go? Can we accept that we no longer need whatever this is that we're hanging on to tightly? If it's alcohol, by the way, great time. You know, Sober October at least fits in well with that. So yes, absolutely. Nobody needs alcohol. It's time to let it go. It's time to have that grip that we've had on thinking that drinking is the answer. It's time to let it go and ask ourselves, what is it that we need to release? Maybe you're further down the line and you've done the booze piece and you need to now let go of, you know, your digital behaviours. So many of us need a digital detox. Oh, my God, am I pointing a finger back at myself? We really need a digital detox. And I'd really recommend start with not having your phone in your room, in your bedroom at night. I know it's a tough one because sometimes people, you know, feel they need to be connected. But there's often another way. You could put it outside the room, at least. If you can turn your Wi-Fi off at night, it makes a massive difference. Because otherwise, we're wired the whole time. And by the way, if you use your phone as an alarm clock, you know, buy an old-fashioned one. And one of those kind of ringing things, remember those? So a digital detox is a great place to start. Maybe we need to let go of clutter. You do realise I'm fully talking to myself here. I really am. I so need to declutter. It's off the scale. And I'm grateful to have freed up a bit of time to be able to do that. Maybe it's that you need to let go of unhelpful friends in your life, people who are not supporting you. That can be very difficult if it's your family or if it's people who are really close to you and they don't support your decision to stop drinking, or they're perhaps even being really mean and sober shaming you. In one case, I think I told you about a client who had a big family, and one of her sisters actually spiked her drink at a family occasion. You know, thought it was hilarious, right? So sometimes it's time to let go, or at the very least set boundaries. If you can't actually remove certain people from your life, you can set some boundaries around what feels important to you. And when we do this, we can allow it to release, and know that what we're doing is allowing that to sort of go and be used for something else, all of that. And then we can reflect on how we're going to move forward, how we're going to step forward, bringing in more balance into our life. Of course I'm talking to myself. Why would I not be, right? So it's been a philosophical, interesting week, but I think the end result is I think I've grasped it, that it's time to let go. I'm absolutely going to do some decluttering. You can hold me to that. I love holding you guys accountable. I'm always saying, please drop me a message if you're doing this. I'll hold the vision for you. I love holding people accountable to the decisions that they've made. So you're very welcome to do that back at me. hold me accountable to the fact that I'm at least going to be open to decluttering, because I don't find it easy. Sometimes we don't. And one of the things, you know, we've been talking about a lot in the Sober Club is when things feel too hard, just bring in the curiosity, just be open to the possibility that you can change, rather than that very kind of negative thinking that says I can't do something. Rather than that, just be open and let go all of that stuff that we no longer need. Anyways, I mentioned my online group coaching program. So this is for you if you don't necessarily want one-to-one coaching at the moment, or you want to work with a group. And we start next Wednesday, the 12th of October. We already have a WhatsApp group working together, which is great fun. And we're going to be looking at strategies and practices and tools that support sustainable sobriety. So this is for you if you're in the early days, or you're sober curious, or maybe you've been kind of up and down with sobriety and find yourself kind of going back to day one. This will be the perfect group for you. It's this is the last call for it. It's only a very small group, so there's a couple of places left. And it's called Tapping Into Freedom. And the reason I've called it that is because we literally can tap into a world without alcohol. And of course, there's a play on words, because I'm going to be sharing some tools and techniques around EFT, emotional freedom technique. But it isn't only emotional freedom technique. There are lots of other self-coaching pieces that I'm going to share with you, because I think that's the thing that makes the difference for people. They can often have a coaching session, they can feel really motivated, everything's going great, they've got their willpower, they've got their ideas of what they're going to do, and then something will happen and it all goes to pot because they haven't got their resources to hand. They haven't got, you know, the pieces that will keep this sustainable. So if you want to join us, just go to thesoberclub.com, click on Tapping for Freedom, either on the events page or on the front page, or just drop me a message and I'll share the information with you. So that's our online group program, Tapping Into Freedom. Starts this Wednesday, 12th of October. It's an evening session. But if you can't join us, it's all recorded. All the resources will be recorded for you. And then I also just want to share with you that November the 6th, we have a Family Constellations Day, finally booked. Myself and a leading trauma expert hosting a Family Constellations workshop in Kings Langley in Hertfordshire. It's amazing work. I've tried to explain it. It's tough. It needs a lot of explanation, but it's amazing. And if you're open and you're willing to just come and see what it's all about, it will leave you feeling more compassionate, more open. Sometimes you can come away from a workshop and everything has changed. And I mean everything for the better. Because one little piece of the jigsaw has kind of slotted back into place for you. So it's really incredible work. It's very powerful. Drop me a line if you're interested in that, or go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and you'll find that Family Constellations Day. And then the following weekend, 12th and 13th of November, we have a Champneys retreat, Self-Care and Sobriety. This time it's at Champneys in Henlow. So it's still in Hertfordshire, but it's the other side of Hertfordshire in Henlow. And it'll be lovely to see you on that. So again, click on events and hopefully I'll have the info up. If I haven't got the info up, then message me. As always, I love hearing from you. You are very welcome to let me know if you're doing this, if you're starting out on this path, and if you don't have anyone to tell me. It's fine. I would love to hear from you, and I'll try and reply to any messages that come through. I'll do my best. Of course, I'm going to recommend that you get connected. Of course I am. Join us in the Sober Club if that resonates. It's low cost. It's incredible value. It's amazing support. It is non-judgmental. There is so much inspiration and connection there. And we really are there to support you, whatever you're going through. And we've got people in the group who are on day one or just about making it to day one and really struggling. And we have people who are 6 years sober, and it works because we're cheerleaders for each other. And our focus is absolutely on that positive piece. You know, what can we do moving forward? Because we're all moving forward towards something, right? So thank you so much for listening. Slightly different podcast this week, and that just had a real short guest. But as always, if you've got any great suggestions for guests for me, please let me know. I have got some good guests coming up. Just had a few people need to change slots, so it was slightly different this week. But please let me know if there's anyone you think I should interview for the podcast, and if you can connect me, that'd be even better. That'd be fantastic. Have yourself a fantastic week, and if you're doing Sober October, I'm going to say keep going. Focus only on what you're gaining, not what you're giving up, because you're not giving anything up. You heard me say it a lot, right? And ideally, you know, go sober not just for October, right? Why would you want to stop at the end of October? What would be the point of that? Carry on. Set yourself a 90-day, 100-day, 200-day challenge, and just see how much better life is without the booze. I will see you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.